to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to have David Slack in the studio with us. Hi, Mr. Slack, how are you?
Present, facing the front.
Facing the front, right, arms folded, straight back. Let's talk the poll, the Comar Brunton poll, the one that we use, Comar Brunton poll. And I just did all the ads for them then, didn't I? And and the leaders' debate, I guess that's where we're at, aren't we? We're past the massive, great big ceramic cow. We're past Winston getting booed. We passed the Chinese MP. Goodness gracious me, that's long gone. Although I don't think so, but I mean,
what a smorgasbord!
So where are we at? What's up?
Mikey, the only poll that matters. Do you know what the only poll that matters is?
The election.
No,
the general election.
Centrebet.
Is that the Australian one?
Yep.
They can't. No. They've got it. Even Stevens, they've got it exactly the same at the moment.
Well,
$1.83 each one.
I looked half an hour ago, and it was Labor ahead by a favourite by 10 cents. Yesterday, yesterday they were a clear favourite, out in front, three wide. On the home James, they were about $1.80, and National were about $2.30. Well, now it's evened up to $1.85. It was showing.
Goodness gracious me! So I mean,
so what's the what this is telling us?
David Slack's on the Aussie betting sites quite often.
Yeah. It's a firm solar grass, Mikey. It's a beautiful day. What that tells you is that it is close, but that. The crucial thing you've got to bear in mind is that it's the Bloc versus National and not just Labor versus National, which was what,
yeah.
For the early part of this campaign, Jacinda really seemed to be embracing. There was so much momentum. Yeah. I think they really did think,
was that the right technique for her, do you think? Because they really need to bolster that support for her and as the new leader and for her as Labor?
Well, it made it look sketchy for the Greens, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But you do have to get yourself turbocharged, and she sure as hell did that.
Yeah.
And now you've got a kind of a, I guess Bill English was right in this prediction, Stardust settles a little and people look around again and figure what they are. What you've got is a reinstatement of where you were in, say, 2005, where both parties were very viable propositions, but it was very, very tight. Since then, you've had this proposition where Labor just looks sick as a dog.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to get your head around the idea that actually this is more like the normal state of affairs. And if you put that block together of Labor and Greens, they are worth just about the same as National. And then you start making your other calculations.
Is that National and New Zealand First or National? Is
no,
National strong enough to run it by itself?
No, it's not. But yep. my point being, you absolutely know that those two go together, and really they just represent two different ways of voting for the same flavour, if
yeah.
you like.
Yeah, sure.
So it does make sense to put them together. You don't naturally put together National and New Zealand First. You don't naturally put the Left Bloc and New Zealand First together, because
sure.
New Zealand First is just bloody strange. It
they
really
are strange.
Is.
I said that I'd kiss Winston Peters on the lips if he got in this time round. I made that stupid call last night. I'm not going to do it, obviously, but you know, I did say it on TV. So,
oh look, it's all.
Oh, I did try and do it.
It'd make good television, Mikey.
Well, they had a turtle race. They were racing turtles on Banter last night, and I said, and so I tried to kiss the New Zealand First turtle. I'll show you the photo. We tried to kiss this turtle. And it almost bit my lip off, and I imagine that Winston Peters would do the same. Yeah, we're over there.
It is a pretty good metaphor, actually.
Yeah,
let's have a look. Oh, that's actually kind of moving. You know, that would be a touching moment if you did that with Winston.
If you look
to be
at,
honest,
look at the,
listeners,
look,
I'm looking look at a very
look at the
affectionate
turtles, the turtle's
engagement
into it.
Here.
Look at his mouth. The turtle's into it.
Yeah, that turtle's DTF. Anyway.
Turtles. Turtles. So let's get back to it. We've got a general election. We've got people that are voting. We've got people that have voted early. People that have voted, made their special votes. They've gone out, they've enrolled and voted at the same time. Have we got a count on who those people are and how many of them there are?
Well, there's anecdotal evidence floats around at a time like this.
Yep.
And what I keep hearing is that there are a lot of young people who are saying, well, I never learned about this in school. I don't quite know what...
You weren't paying attention then, because they did teach us about
it. That's right. Face the front. Doesn't take long. But it does bewilder people. And I suspect it's not just that they haven't necessarily had them had their teacher walk through the basics of one tick does this and the other tick does this. I think it's also that there's so much talk about the strategic voting and that sort of thing that people start to think, oh, shit, maybe it's much more complicated than this. Maybe I don't know enough. And I've got to say, I've been getting, because of the way I prattle on about this stuff in the media, I've been getting a lot of emails from people saying, so what do I do? What do I do? And as a public service, I'll repeat what I've been saying to people. And this is from the point of view of lefties, because it may come as a surprise to some people, but I do favour a more progressive socialist point of view. Anyway, what I'm saying is...
Less focused on bullshit and covering things up. Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, let's come back to untruths in a minute.
Yeah.
If you voted left last time, I suggest just do what you did last time. If you voted Labour last time, do that again. Sorry, party vote this is. If you voted party vote Labour last time, do it again. If you voted Green party vote last time, do that again. Because there are two things you need. You need a big stonking vote for Labour, but you also need Greens over the threshold. And you see people saying after a couple of these polls, oh, well, they're over 5% over the threshold now, I don't have to worry.
No.
All the poll is suggesting is what the intentions are. You've got to actually make the intention real. I reckon if a core of people are doing what they did last time, that should preserve those two key elements of decent vote for Labour. Greens over the threshold.
Some people think this. If you vote for a party, your party vote's Labour, and you do your electorate vote for Green or for Top or United Future or whatever, or ACT even. he looks like a smug dolphin, doesn't he, David Seymour? Let's just get down to it. He looks
you
like a smug
your vote,
dolphin.
Flipper. You wasted your vote. Actually, just on that, I've got to say that way back in 1999, I was feeling a bit fucked over by the mighty state.
You've been actish, were you?
I actually said to people who would listen, I'm going to vote ACT this election. Well, we get to the booth. I'm actually there with my marker pen. It's poised over the form. It's heading for ACT.
And, Hyde, it must have been Hyde.
And as the reality hit me, I just burst out laughing. Like, that's going to happen. There are some things even a rat won't do, Mikey.
People that are voting, there'll be some people voting on synthetic cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be high on that. They might do that. But the question I was going to ask is that, so you vote, if you're voting for your party on one vote, your electorate, and you vote something a different party on the electorate vote, does one cancel out the other? Because I know a lot of people think that.
No. Yes. No. Let us make that emphatic. No, it does not.
Yes. No, it does not. Does not.
There are tiny little complications to that about overhang and stuff like that. Forget about that. The crucial point is your party vote is the one that really, 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 let's do it a few more times, really matters.
Yep. Party vote really matters.
So you can even forget about your electorate vote unless it really matters to you that somebody in your local hood is representing you in Parliament that you really want.
Yep.
And then you get stuck in.
If you only tick one box, does it count? Does your vote count?
Yeah, it still counts.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. So that if you're not even interested in the electorate, leave it alone and just tick party vote and it'll still get counted.
All right. So let's talk about where we are at. I sat there last night and I watched that leaders' debate and I thought, we're just too polite. I know Jacinda's running relentlessly positive, and that's why she's not calling him out. But I watched Bill English just lie and lie and lie and just make up stuff last night. And that really, it's what's disgusted me about this national government all three terms. And I can't see why the public let him get away with it.
Yeah, let's count the big lies. Number one, there is no $11.7 billion hole. Every economist says it, and the only people
and he
who
looked her in
otherwise...
the eye too and said it. Ooh, yuck! That's a lie.
Only with coaching, she said, "Are you going to look me in the eye?" Because most of the night he just looked at the middle of the
table.
There
was a lot of skippy eyes going on from him. Definitely,
that's true. Yeah. The second lie is Labor is raising income tax. It bloody isn't. It absolutely
never
isn't.
Never was going to.
It never was going to. It is not a thing. Do not believe it. It is bullshit. And the third lie is, well, he could prove us wrong, but I doubt it. is that they're going to magically lift 50,000 children out of poverty by the 1st of April. What's the date today?
Today is the 21st of September. Yep. But when do they even go back? When does Parliament reset?
Probably late November, early December.
And then out again by mid-December?
Exactly. Yeah, 50,000 are supposed to magically come out of poverty by the 1st of April. Do not piss on my leg and tell me it's raining,
Bill.
That is
such a joke, isn't it? And even just to flippantly talk about it like that is so...
Well, it kind of looks like they've realised, hey,
that's elitist crap. And by all means, text in or call in if you really, really think that we're heading this in the wrong way, that by all means, chuck your thoughts in, National Party lovers, voters.
Even if you
just think we're not being fair about it, this is the way that I've been watching it the last couple of weeks, just going, well, you're just lying, and we're too polite. We're too polite to say, shut up, man, you're lying, you're bullshitting, bullshitter, bullshitter.
They've got a kind of father knows best tone to the whole thing.
Oh, you think that would be the way I would describe the National Party in New Zealand? Know best. Yeah, here's what New Zealanders really want, Mike. Shut up. Yeah. Now tell me what New Zealanders really want. I'm a New Zealander. I'll tell you what we want. How about that?
Both Bill English and Stephen Joyce. You look at the way they look while they're telling.
Who's
this
the architect
bullshit
out of those two, by the way? I reckon Stephen Joyce. I think Stephen Joyce is the architect behind the whole National Party thing. And I called him on it. My last political interview I ever did at BFM was with Stephen Joyce. And I said, when are you going to roll John Key? And he said, and he didn't, but he's still there. He's still in. He's just, yeah, he's really is the Dick Cheney, isn't he?
Well, there was a
I mean, that's a heavy call.
Yeah, but Karl Rove, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he kind of knows how to bullshit people. He had a quite instructive observation in a Morning Report interview a few weeks ago. He said, it's all about getting more market share.
Yeah.
Because the radio guy, you know, whatever you did before you come into the gig, that's what you are now. Yeah, that's right. He's counting the demos. He's got it for, and he looks for the line that pulls those people in. And it doesn't matter if it's true or not. Yeah. He can say, for example, here's this great song by Toto, and people say, oh yeah, I love that great song by Toto about the rains in Africa. Yeah, you know, of course it's not true, but because he says it like it's father knows best, they think, well, Stephen says it must be true.
Are we a jumpy country in that respect? Are we so scared that we, you know, like I heard a Winston Peters radio ad with immigration. He's finally got around to talking about it properly. Immigration, they've let them in. Blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, I bet that's really quaking some people's, you know, in their boots sort of thing. You know, just the whole concept of immigration and the father knows best trick. We really don't have a lot of backbone in this country, as it would appear.
Shifting sands under our feet, I think, maybe. Yeah. You know, there's a lot to be unnerved about. Things are changing. It used to be that you left school and you knew you would have a job. Well, you know, who does now? And there are all kinds of uncertainties. Actually, this was really interesting last night in the debate. Jacinda talked about how, on the one hand, the media are saying it's all about tax. What she's finding more than anything when she goes out and talking to people and look at those crowds, what they're talking to her about
is... Those are big crowds.
Big, big crowds.
Yeah.
Health and mental health. And let's think about that. Mental health, 23% of our population are being prescribed antidepressants. Now, what does that tell you about the state of what it is to live here today? And not just here, right across the world. That times are worrying and insecure, and it means that people are in all kinds of shit.
Sorry, David. I was going to say, we might just go into the 8 o'clock news, and do you want to stick around just for a little chat afterwards?
Yeah,
Is that okay? Yeah. Would you mind terribly? That'd be wonderful. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
So David Slack's our guest in the studio with us. We're talking politics because the election is not tomorrow, but the next day. And you need to vote if you haven't voted yet. And if you have voted, well done, you. Well done. Kick your shoes off and just gloat. And gloat, and then tell your friends to go out and vote. All right, so we'll have the news and we'll come back with a bit more. Is that okay, David?
Sweet.
Do you want to stick around for a bit longer? Choice.
BFM News.
Atamaria, good morning. Ko India Eswa Toku Ingua, ko te waru karaka. It's 8 o'clock. A new poll shows almost half of New Zealanders think Jacinda Ardern's age isn't relevant to her, but to her ability to lead the country. The Herald ZB Kantar TNS poll shows 1 in 5 people think her age could be an advantage. Older people were more likely to have a negative view towards her age, with 43% of those over 60 saying it was a disadvantage. If Ardern becomes Prime Minister after the election, at 37 years old, she would be the youngest in 161 years. The Te Reti o Waitangi settlement for the Pare Hauraki collective has stalled following a dispute over rights to Tauranga Harbour, Katie Doyle reports.
A settlement process between iwi from Tauranga and Hauraki began in 2012, after it was found some claims to the harbour overlapped. Many of these settlements were reached in 2014, but Tauranga iwi Ngai Te Rangi say they are unhappy Hauraki will have rights to the harbour. Chairman of Ngai Te Rangi, Charlie Tafio, says the 2014 agreements misrepresented the situation, and there is no point arguing these agreements should be honoured. Hauraki Collective Chair Paul Majuri says opposition by Ngai Te Rangi lacks mana as it disregards customary interests. Ngai Te Rangi are now seeking a hui at the marae, where they say the integrity of the treaty process will be found. Katie Doyle, BFM News.
The Green Party says New Zealand needs to subsidise electric cars. This comes as damage to the pipeline connecting Auckland to New Zealand's only oil refinery has led to a shortage of various fuels. Green Party Transport spokesperson Julianne Genta says New Zealanders need an affordable alternative to petrol-driven cars.
By providing that big financial incentive for companies to buy electric vehicles, we'd be creating a second-hand market of electric vehicles within a few years.
The purchase price of electric cars is currently 20 to 30% higher than petrol models. Māori Party President Tuku Morgan is indifferent towards news that the party sought endorsements from the King of Tonga. This week, the chair of the Tongan Advisory Council raised concerns at reports that King Tupou VI was approached to endorse the Māori Party. Morgan says it's not his concern whether the Tongan king endorses one of his candidates or not. Tuku Morgan says Māori King Tuheitia approached King Tupou in March in an attempt to bring Māori and Pacifica together. That's the news. It's 8:01.
We've got a lot of jiggery pokery going on in the studio here. The surf report I don't have handy, unfortunately. Should we continue our political commentary? Someone just, a National Party fan just thought, sorry, David. A National Party fan or supporter BFM supporter just called up their, thank you very much, India, by the way. Was I right in there? Are we going surf report there? India?
I don't think we do surf at 8.
Yeah, that's all right.
No, could be wrong.
No, we did. We'll have to. We'll come back to Steph at 8:30. The National Party supporter called up and said the reason that they're saying that they'll get 50,000 people, 50,000 kids out of poverty on April 1st is tax cuts. Now, and show a bit of journalistic balance. And fair enough too. I didn't realise that was the reason, but I don't think how big are these tax cuts?
Not enough to achieve that. I do not resile from my proposition that he is urinating upon my leg and telling me it's raining. It's not that easy.
But you must have been loving the tax cuts you've had in the last three terms. Really, I mean, I felt them. I really felt them. I'm trying to think what I'd do with all that extra money. Oh, hang on, nothing. And I mean, Johnny and I were saying before, yes, this conversation, by the way, listeners, is a little biased, but do chuck in your thoughts. Someone said, we've had to put up the last bloody key. Someone said, this political commentary, loving this political commentary, so sick of the shit we've had to put up with the last 9 years, bloody Key & Co, sick of the polls as well. Someone else said, slightly biased towards Labour much. And then this call here, this is from the same guy that writes in all the time, or girl. You guys are hilarious. I wonder if you'd be spouting the sycophantic drivel if Little was still the leader. Probably not. Now that there, to me, that's classic National Party attitude right there.
Yeah,
because Little's not the leader. Ardern's the leader, and your leader is no longer the big the mighty demigod Key that had so much charisma that you love so much, who was such a great guy who did so much for the country. Name four things, you know. Name four things. Text four things into me right now, real quick. You know the number. I know the number you are. So just text it in. What are four great things that John Key did for this nation? Yeah, was it Lennon, that Chinese MP? No, I don't know about that. Was it Todd Barclay? Don't know about that either. You know. What was it? Was it the bit where he stood up and said, "Get some guts"? Ugh.
I'll give him this, Mikey. He did get the cycling thing kind of moving, and I'm pleased about that.
The cycling thing?
Yeah.
I did the cycleways. You're going to fall back on the cycleways?
That's all I've got.
David Slack.
That's all I've got.
Fair enough.
And he nearly got us that beautiful Weet-Bix flag. Yeah. I'd have loved to have marched behind that beautiful Weet-Bix flag.
Caller, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. I am. Come on, don't give National a hard time. They made rivers drinkable by raising the bar. They can do the same for poor people. Stop hassling them.
I don't want to drink poor people.
The minimum amount you need to live on now is lower. Fixed.
This is what Johnny and I were saying before.
What they did with the rivers.
Is anybody that's walking around and saying that the division of between rich and poor isn't blatantly and obviously visible in this country is living in a dreamland.
Absolutely.
And I haven't heard him talk about making much of a difference to that at all. You know, I've barely hear about the right wing, if we're going to call it that, or the National Party admitting that there is some sort of division that they've created between rich and poor. You don't hear them admit it.
They have an inability to recognise the concept of community. That's the crux of their problem.
But what about me? I deserve something for me. If it's about time. I'm sick of hearing, you know, like, well, tell you what we haven't heard this time around, though, David. We haven't heard people getting on the DPB on purpose, or the bludgers, or the Maoris.
That all got soaked up in the whole Materia hate.
Yeah, did it?
They dropped it.
Yeah. Well, see, that's interesting, because they were cracking on about that hard last time, you know? They're not the ones who have tidied that up, if it has been tidied up, you know?
Is it me, or do you think that Greens sometimes, though, tend to jump on whatever topical issue is in the paper at the time? Or have they actually got some backbone this time?
I've thought until this election they were always the more clear strategic thinkers. Having said that, yes, somebody like Russell Norman was expert at having the perfect response to any issue that arose, which is what you need to be doing when you're a party with a small share of the vote.
They seem to be extremely sort of tactical, but not in a...
I see what you mean, yeah.
No real strategy in it.
Yeah,
very reactive almost.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure.
I can see why someone might think that, though.
If you look at, for example, how the work Julianne Jetta has been doing on transport, I think the strategic thinking behind that is excellent.
Yeah, they don't push that majorly, which they should, because it's...
Oh, she goes hard.
In the media, because it's so Labour or National, you don't hear about these smaller, greater things.
Oh, well, it's true. It is frustrating given that we are a 24/7, always-on digital world, there is room for an awful lot of all of that stuff. And I suppose, you know, it does appear in certain places, but there is a kind of a preoccupation with... The horse race and the kind of sports dimension to the whole thing. Who's winning, who's losing, and the press gallery in particular, they just love the idea, anytime there's even a sniff of it, of somebody getting rolled. And the moment that happens, that's where all their preoccupation goes. And that is, this is not to denigrate the capability they have in many respects, but they have this preoccupation with it that does tend to swamp everything else, and that's bloody frustrating.
They're kind of like bloodhounds,
are they? Yeah, sure.
Chasing whatever's running in front of them.
Well, they're more like the hounds that chase the fox, you know. Yeah. It's all frenzy.
Thank you, caller.
Yes, okay, keep it up.
I wonder why the Greens just still there. It's very quiet on the cannabis thing, isn't it? Sort of, which has really pushed them over the edge in the initial years.
Yeah, they had a great policy on it, they have a great policy on it. And we'll get there, you know. We will get
there. It's inevitable, isn't it?
There is no question that a majority of the country now sees that it's ludicrous that we don't have, that we don't at least decriminalise it. You've got most of the country is at ease with it, recognises the stupidity of what's going on. And let's not forget, people are still getting bloody locked up for this.
A lot of people locked up for it. You there, caller?
Yes, John, just what John did for me. He put us in the highest global house price index in the Western world. We're taken over from Ireland, and good old America's just been trucking along and putting land and building as a tradable commodity. And so Johnny's helped me, but it's not good for the nation. So we purchased a section for $60,000 25 years ago. I would have paid about that again in interest over a 25-year loan. Now, potentially, I can carve this land up and it can be worth $1.2 million. Now, why should that be?
Good call, caller. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is actually what lies behind the whole tax working group idea that caused the trouble for Jacinda, because what she was saying was she wants a whole package of action on this, because it is unbelievable that a house, an ordinary house, costs $1 million when people earn only that they don't earn nearly enough to service the cost of
house prices have gone up almost 8 times over 20 years, and the wages have gone up half.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Has anybody out there listening had a massive increase in their wages in the last 10, 15 years? No.
And the dopey thing about all of this is that the banks have made it possible for everybody to keep borrowing and borrowing and pretend these houses are worth more, and because there's no tax paid on the gain you make, there's every reason to pour your investment into that and to